From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on the field trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with some of the most interesting people in the Bay Area and Marin County. I talk to artists and writers and actors, directors, musicians, some of the people who make the Bay Area a fun and a fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. My show this week is the third part of my interview with the fantastic world-renowned percussionist and drummer Mr. Harold Jones. If you've listened to the past two shows, you'll know how interesting and entertaining and funny the man is. He's currently playing with Tony Bennett, has been for a few years, played all around the world with the likes of Natalie Cole, Sarah Vaughan, Ella Fitzgerald, and at 27 years old, he joined the Count Basie Band. He's got a lot of stories, and he's a really interesting guy. So I hope you enjoy the third part of my interview with Mr. Harold Jones. I know that you played in the Colosseum in Rome with Sarah Vaughan, but yeah. Really, you prefer to play in nightclubs.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, when you're in a smaller room, you have walls and a ceiling all the way around. You really can hear the acoustics and play within that acoustic there. Well, that's the way we learned to play when we grew up. No place was any bigger than those places. Nowadays, these guys are in the outdoor baseball stadiums and stuff. But then when you hit a sound, it just goes right on out into space. That's why those amplifiers and everything else have gotten bigger, because the rock and roll groups have gotten louder. But if you come back inside, that's why a symphony orchestra, boy, you play in there, all wood floor, all wood surroundings, and just so that you can drop a dime on the floor and hear it. That's it. That's the genre that I'm in.
So it's the acoustics, huh?
Yeah, acoustics.
Let me ask you then, in relation to that, there are different sizes of bass drums. There's an 18-inch bass drum, there's a 22-inch bass drum, and I'm sure you've used both. And what's the difference, and why would you use one versus the other?
Well, basically, you could keep your same technique going, and if the band was a bigger band, you'd use a bigger bass drum and be tapping on it. And if it was a smaller group and or you're playing behind a singer and it's in a very small room or club, this, you get a smaller bass drum, but you can still use your same technique. You can still be tapping on it the same way. Yeah.
Well, talking about the drums, let me throw out some names of some great drummers and get your quick reaction to their playing styles, okay? I don't mean them personally, but just what you think of their playing style.
Okay.
Louis Belson.
Greatest and an inventor. He was the type of drummer that would make the band, and the train would stay on the track. But Louis invented, he went back to the match grip. He invented drumsticks with a stick on one end, a brush on the other. He invented sticks with a tambourine. He invented a lot of things. And, I think that his two bass drum thing was the thing that threw a lot of drummers, because it was so good in one direction. But it was a narrow direction that it had to be a two-bass drum thing. So he didn't come under the heading of the swing drummers. And that was because he wasn't always on that hi-hat. But I've heard him play with that hi-hat, man. Some of those things he did with Oscar Peterson in there were just unbelievably beautiful and swinging. He's one of my favorites that I absolutely have loved all along. And I've got records back on him when they were in 10-inch LPs.
How about Papa Joe Jones?
Well, when I first joined Basie's band, Papa Joe Jones heard he got a new drummer, and he came down to the riverboat in the Empire State Building to meet him and to see what I was doing. And I had on a nylon red undershirt, and he told me, "You can't afford to be pretty." He told me to get a white cotton T-shirt and only wear that to soak up the sweat and to change shirts before I go outside in that snow to go home. And then Papa Joe and I, we'd go, when we, I was living in New York, we'd go to three bars between 11 in the morning and 2 in the afternoon. And he would sit in and jam at each one of them.
Is that right?
Oh, and somebody would bring him over a cognac and a beer. And by the time that beer and cognac was gone, so were we.
What about Kenny Clarke?
Oh, now I loved him. When I first went to Paris, with Basie. That's when I got to meet Kenny Clarke for the first time. And he was one of my idols. Those swing things he did, especially back with Miles and all of them. So I wanted to meet him. But you know what? He came to see Basie. So consequently, I got to meet him there. Now, I'll never forget, I had a snare drum. It was a new prototype of Rogers. And he was so impressed by it and whatnot that he brought another guy over that custom made another snare drum and asked if he could trade me. And I said, for you, Kenny, anything you want, of course. We traded snare drums, and I still got that drum at home. I wouldn't even bring it out on the road anymore because it was one of a kind almost. And Kenny was one of the original swingers. He was, and I think he moved over there just because of the politics over here. And, yeah, he sure missed the horns, though.
How about Buddy Rich?
Well, I can't say anything about him. It's all been said.
All right, let's move on. Sonny Payne.
Yeah, greatest showman I ever saw in my life. Yeah. I remember as a kid seeing Basie's band. That was one reason that any kid drummer would want to play with the band. But you didn't realize it was because he was doing all this. So I've seen him throw the sticks off the wall on the stage and catch them.
Really?
Yeah, of course, he might have been a little late on the beat. But that didn't seem to matter.
What about Art Blakey?
Woo! Man, strongest drummer I've ever seen.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, you will march to the beat of this drummer. And I loved him. I loved him. He was one of my idols, too.
Joe Morello?
Oh, yeah. I loved him that he had this technique. He had that finger technique down. And I'm still trying to do his little thing that he does. And that was great because they've got a lot of young drummers trying to do what he did. Because to roll with one hand... No other drummer had gotten it down like that. Buddy Rich got it pretty close. And Louis Belson was getting it down in there, too.
Is that hard to do?
To roll with one hand. You got to get it going both ways. I'll show you one day if we meet in public, because, yeah.
I'll be sure to ask you. What about Gene Krupa?
Well, they tell me. I met him, but it was very late in his life. And it was up at Bill's Drum Shop in Chicago. They give Gene Krupa the credit for bringing us drummers out of the back row up into the front row to get a chance to ever be in the spotlight. Before him, we were always tucked in the back, and everybody else got to play. And I won't say get the glory, but got to play, you know. And now the drummer was considered a musician, too. So we have to give him credit as helping a big main leap in the drum world.
What about Max Roach?
Well, Max was one I particularly really did follow a great deal and probably bought every one of his records. He was one of the drummers that was explaining to other drummers that it's okay to solo, but try to solo within the form of the song, just like the horn player does. Everybody else has to. Why can't the drummer?
Interesting.
Until Max Roach, I was just doing those kind of drum solos, like hit it as fast and as loud as I can, and when I got to the end, it was a da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So up until Max Roach, you know, there was no other way to get out of it. Yeah.
Well, I know there are a couple of drummers who are big fans of yours, and one of them is Phil Collins of Genesis, and the other one is Charlie Watts of the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. Yeah, they're young enough to be fans of mine. Once I heard that, I became fans of them. They're both great drummers. I'm glad to hear they heard me on their way up, man.
And, of course, Charlie likes the big band music, too.
Both of them have started their own big bands, you know.
I didn't know Phil had.
Yes. Yeah, I don't think his lasted as long as Charlie's.
Well, he doesn't have as much money as Charlie. Maybe that's it. Well, speaking of age, I know that you got a birthday coming up on February the 27th. Isn't that right?
That's right, man.
Well, I'm going to wish you happy birthday. If you don't mind me saying so, it will be your 71st?
72nd. Yeah, man.
Unbelievable.
It really is, considering I didn't even try to take care of myself for 50 years of it.
I also heard you don't go to funerals.
You know what? That's a hard one for me. I don't know if I inherited it. Basie didn't do it. Basie didn't like to go to funerals. And I've been around a couple other people. I mean, those black church people, man, it gets kind of holy-roly there. People would scream for no reason. I don't know. I don't know, man. It just kind of gets to me. I heard so much. Yeah.
Well, yeah. The new book all about Harold Jones is available at Amazon. Again, it's entitled Harold Jones, The Singer's Drummer, and it's by Gil Jacobs and Joe Agro. Please take a look at Harold's own website, haroldjonesdrums.com. Now, Harold has a big band of his own that I mentioned earlier. That's called the Harold Jones Boss Men Orchestra. Is that right?
Yes.
And you play with these guys when you're home in Marin County, and you play with them out in the San Geronimo Valley.
Yes, yes. Now, what it is it's a bunch of school teachers and guys that are off and not working at the time, and they live out near there, and we reach out to any of the guys in the Bay Area. And it started, and it is still, called an open rehearsal, which we just had family and friends came up, and they could listen while we rehearsed for music, hoping we would get a job. Yeah. So anyway, but that's what it is. And whenever I'm in town and whatnot, we always try to get another little open rehearsal out there and have family and friends in.
Well, if anybody listening is interested in seeing those gigs, you can email Joe Agro, that's JOEAGRO, at comcast.net. And Joe, who's also a musician and plays in the Boss Men, will put you on the email list for upcoming shows. And you do those out at the golf club in San Geronimo, don't you?
Yes, yes.
And what does it cost to go to those gigs?
Absolutely free.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's what I said. It's an open rehearsal, and it's family and friends. So if you don't like it, you can have your money back.
You guarantee people's money back if they don't like the show.
Yeah.
Tell me just a little bit before I let you go about tonight's gig, $50,000 a table with Tony Bennett. Tell me a little bit about that. That's got to be a great scene.
Well, now, you know, I don't know anybody that's going to be there.
So. Me neither. I guess my invitation got lost in the mail.
Yeah, yeah. But I think it's a fundraiser for the some medical department out here at UCSF.
I see.
Yeah. And one of the departments at the medical department. And I don't know if it's actually a fundraiser or it's part of the city celebration thing. I think they might have combined it all and Valentine's Day. Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic. It's been getting a lot of press. I saw some things on the TV last night about it. And I guess you did, this morning, you did a video with Tony Bennett?
Yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, I know they just showed it once this while ago. It'll be on CBS News.
Harold Jones, continued success to you, my friend, and thank you all for taking us on a field trip today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Mitchell, and thank you for the call. And I can't wait to meet you. It's a pleasure getting to talk with you.
That's the great Harold Jones, everybody. Well, thanks for joining me today on the field trip. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email address is mitchellfield@radiosausalito.org. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet, with the fabulous Marin sax man Noel Jukes up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that the field trip can be heard Wednesdays at the top of every hour at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin, countywide on Wednesdays at noon on Comcast Cable Channel 26, on your computer at radiosausalito.org, or 24 hours a day as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends, and if you didn't, well, please tell your enemies. So till next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you next week.
We hope you enjoyed the preceding Radio Sausalito presentation. You'll find more great jazz programming and podcasts updated every week online at radiosausalito.org.